Okay, what I'd like to do today is present insights from the Rav as mediated through a very interesting sefer, Hare Kedem by Rav Michal Shurkin. Some of you might know who he was. He's Rashiv and Taurus Moshe in Eretz Yisrael with Rabbi Meiselman, and of course that's where Rav Moshe Tursky, Hashem Shom Domo, was also Rosh Yeshiva. So I really didn't know Rav Shurkin well. When I came, I was 18, I started in the Rav Shir. He had just, after being 17 years in the Rav Shir, had left. I think a couple of times he still showed up that first year in the Darim. And again, everyone, you know, the Rav was so magisterial. Everyone has their own unique perspective as they explain the Rav Shirim. So, you know, Rav Lichzin does it one way, Rav Shechel do another way. So recently I've been getting to all the summer of Rav Shurkin, so I thought it would be interesting to, I'm going to present, as time permits, 10 pieces by Rav Shurkin on the Rav's insights into Chanukah, and maybe add some few comments here and there. So, in terms of the Maamar Makomos, the best way to do it, I think, is simply to read the Rambam inside, then I'll present how Rav Shurkin quoted the Rav. Let's start, Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph. So here's the Rambam's historical background. B'bayi sheni, kishamochu yavon, gozru gzeros al Yisrael, right? The Syrian Greeks, ubatlu dasam, their religion, v'lonichu osom lasog v'torah b'mitzvos, they didn't let them learn Torah before mitzvos, upashtu yadom b'mamonu ubivnoseyem, there was economic pressure, and it seems that they molested the daughters, v'nichnusu l'heichol, ufartavol pritzos v'timu ataros, and they defiled all the objects in the base of Mikdash, v'tzar lahem l'yisrom ov nepneihem, v'lachatzom lachatz gadol, there was so much pressure, ad sherichem aleihem elokei avoseinu, God had mercy upon the Jewish people, v'oshiyam mi'adam, saved them, v'tzilam, v'garru b'nei chashmonoi hakohanim agdolim, this of course is Matisyahu and his family, v'hargum, v'oshiyu yisrom mi'adam, then v'midu melech mina kohanim, v'chazro machos l'Yisrael, yesro masayim shona ad achurban hasheni. Okay, this is the Rambam's historical background to the holiday Chanukah. So the first question that the Rav asked is that why does the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah present a historical background to the holiday, but in Purim, you go two prokim earlier in Hilchos Megillah, he mentions nothing about the historical background. What's the difference? So the Rav explained that this is based, the answer to this question is based on a often quoted but misunderstood Rambam. In the beginning of the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam writes that he will call his work Mishneh Torah. Why? Because if someone learns all Torah Shebichsav and then studies his Chibur, his work, Mishneh Torah, he will now know what is entailed in Torah Shebaal Peh and will not need to read another book. That's what he writes. Thank you. Now, the Rambam was not advocating, God forbid, that after reading his work, Mishneh Torah, one who reads it no longer has an obligation to study Gemara. Chas v'shalom. The Rambam himself certainly includes the study of Gemara, however you define it, under what one must learn when he divides his time up in learning the various parts of Torah, and that's for his entire lifetime. What's the point of the Rambam? The point of the Rambam, from Michal Shurkin quoted the Rav, is that telling us that one should learn his Sefer in tandem with Torah Shebichsav, and then one will know the contours, the parameters of Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, you learn the Rambam Mishneh Torah with being Ma'ariv Sedra, with going over Torah Shebichsav. So what? Now we have the answer. The historical story behind the laws of Purim is in Torah Shebichsav. It's in Megillas Esther. So there's no need for the Rambam to repeat in Mishneh Torah a summary of the Megillas Esther. Just open up the Kisvei HaKodesh. But there is no book in Tanakh that discusses the persecution of the Syrian Greeks. There's no book of Tanakh that discusses Antiochus. That is all Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Rambam wrote in abbreviated form that part of Torah Shebaal Peh in the Mishneh Torah, And that is why he includes the historical details of the Nes in Hilchos Chanukah. Now, with this point, the Rav added, we can explain a very puzzling phrase in the beginning of Hilchos Megillah. The Ram writes, V'advarim Yiduim, and these matters are known, that Purim, it's in Hilchos Megillah, so it's not going to be here, it's Perek Aleph, that Purim is a takana of the Nevi'im. What's the point of the word Yiduim? So again, the Rav, everything is halakhically classified. The answer is, with respect to Purim, the story is in Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is part of Kitzvei HaKodesh. This is well known, so there's no point for the Rambam to repeat it in Mishneh Torah. Masha Ein Kein Chanukah, as we have just said, there is a need to give a short summary, and that's exactly what he does in Hilchos Chanukah.
Probably wants to forewarn the learning the history of Chanukah from the Megillas Antiyucha, so the Spirim Kitzonim.
Okay, right. So that's a very interesting point. Right. The Ram does not have what you know, the quote from Rav Sadigal and the whole discussion of that. Okay, so that's piece number one. So you see already what the style is, and everything in the Rambam is going to be categorized, classified, analyzed from a purely halachic point. Let's go on to the second piece. The Rambam wrote, as we saw, "Vitzar lahem liYisrael ma'od." Now, what is the point of that verb "vitzar"? Yes, we know, you know, it was very difficult. Tzar, etc. Second, so the Rav suggested that this is meant to reference a very famous Gemara in Psachim, which talks about the Machayev of Hallel, that the Nevi'im were Mesakein, that Bnei Yisrael should recite Hallel on every Perek and on every Tzara. Now the Briskers B'chalal love this Gemara in Psachim. That's like the key to explain so much of the Dinah of Hallel. The famous piece by the Rav's uncle, Brisker Rav, Schon Racha, Rizak Zev Salavetchik, when she said, Perek v'Perek is what we'll call Hallel Shel Kriya, and on the Tsar, called Tsar v'Tsar, meaning the deliverance from the Tsars, is a different type of Hallel, Hallel Shel Shira. Okay, the Rav's not analyzing that point now at all. He's just focusing on the word Tsar. He says the word Tsar here references the Gemara in Psachim Kuf Yudzayin and every Tzara Vitzara, that is, on all the occasions when Bnei Yisrael were delivered by God from the misfortune that befell them. Now, here's an important point. The entire mitzvah of Chanukah, right, the Neros, was instituted in order to thank the Ribbono Shelom, to thank God, to give Hallel to God. Now, here the Rav introduced a famous idea that he said in various places, that the act of lighting the menorah itself is a kiyum of Hallel v'Hodah. It's demonstrative, this verbal Hallel, and it's also demonstrative Hallel, demonstrative Hallel and Hodah. So all this is hinted at by the language of Vitzar. So again, the Rambam says, of course you learn Torah Sheval Peh also, but his book is a, you know, summary of Torah Sheba Al Peh. So this Tsar hints at the language of Tsar in the Gemara Psachim, because the obligation to recite Hallel is incumbent on any human being who is delivered from Tsar. Then the Rav made a second point. The word Tsar Lahem Yisrael Ma'od might refer to something else. We know in Halacha the two types of milchamos, two types of wars. There's Milchemes Rishus and Milchemes Mitzvah. What's the definition of Milchemes Mitzvah? So the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, classifies different types of milchamos. One is the war against the seven Canaanite nations. The second is the war against Amalek. And the third is a war to save Bnei Yisrael against the Tsar, an enemy who has come to oppress them. So I've suggested maybe that's another point in the Rambam's language of Tsar, that this milchama by the Chashmonaim was a milchemes mitzvah. Okay. That's point number two. Now let's go to point number three. We saw before, v'tzar lahem liyisrael ma'ob b'nei Yisrael. right? Velachatzum, etc. And we saw also, it says, Upashtu yadom b'mamonom u'b'vnoseihem. The Rav said he sees something very, very interesting here, that the persecution wasn't just spiritual. You know, we say Antiochus didn't let them do mitzvot. There also was physical harassment. Now this point is against the famous idea by Rav Mordechai Yaffa, known as the Levush, generation after the Ramah, in Hilchos Chanukah. So I'll just present the Levush a little bit, and then we'll see how the Rav's point is distinct and disjunct from that. The Levush raised an interesting question. Why is there a Chiyuv Seuda on Purim, but there is no Chiyuv Seuda on Chanukah? That's a good question. So he says, the Nes of Chanukah was only spiritual deliverance. Since it was only spiritual deliverance, so therefore we celebrate Chanukah by lighting candles. Right? In other words, Chanukah is not, you know, the joke, they try to persecute us, we won, let's eat. Right? That's the short summer of Jewish holidays, but Chanukah is not like that. Because we don't eat, we don't have a Chiyuv Seuda on Chanukah. Rather, we express it by lighting Neros, Ner Hashem Mishmas Adam, but that's quid pro quo for the spiritual persecution of Chanukah. But on Purim, of course, the danger was physical. Haman wanted Lashmi Larog Labedas Kovim Marva Tzokain Tapanashim Yom Echad Ushoshal Yom Chodesh Adar. So a celebration for the deliverance on Purim must entail a physical component, which is the Seuda. On Chanukah, no, he didn't want to kill us per se. He wanted to just stop us from performing our religious duties as Jews, spiritually annihilate us. By the way, I once gave a drasha. It seems to me that you can use this Levush, you know, to compare the two great tyrants of the 20th century, Hitler, Yimach Shmo, and Stalin. So Hitler wanted to physically annihilate us. Stalin, it was spiritual annihilation. So, you know, the point of the communists was to root out any religious observance. But physical extermination was not the goal per se. So the communists were like Antiochus. So the Jews remained physically alive, and their grandchildren, thank God, you know, live to see another day. But let's bring it back to the Rambam. The Rambam is not like the Levush. And then moreover, if you look at the Halacha Gimel, Perek Gimel, you see there is a physical component to the celebration. Let's read now Halacha Beis and Halacha Gimel. We'll come back to Halacha Beis in a minute. Ukshagavru Yisrael al oyveihem, when Bnei Yisrael won the war, va'avadum v'chamisha b'esrim b'chodesh kislev haya, right, 25th day of Kislev, nichmasu l'heichov l'matzu shemen tar l'mikdash al pach echad, they only had one flask, v'lo yabol l'hadak el yom echad bilvad, v'hidliku mimenu neros ha'maracha shmona yamim. They only had enough oil for one day, but it lasted eight. Ad shekashu zeis unsiyu shemen tahar. Now let's go on. U'mipnei ze hiskinu chachomim sheba'oso hador, sheyushmonas ha'yamim ha'elu shetchilaso mele chamisha esrei v'kislev, 8 days. Now here it is. Yimei simcha ve'halel. Oh, simcha always entails some physical component to the celebration. So you see, it's not quite like the Levush. Now, some achronim in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tov Reish Ayin, like the Taz, Rishayim the Marshal, deduces this from the Rambam, that it's not like the Levush. So the Rav pointed out that the Rambam's insistence that on Chanukah you do have a physical component of the mitzvah simcha is l'shitaso regarding what the neis was. In other words, the Rambam agrees with the conceptual substructure of Levush, that if the neis would be only, if the danger is only spiritual, then the celebration would be only spiritual. That he would agree with. But the Rambam understood that the danger was physical also. So therefore, the celebration also has to entail a physical aspect. Even though, to be sure, there's no formal requirement of a Seuda. Okay, well, I'll come back to this at the end. I'll just add here that even according to the nature of the Rav's understanding, the physical nature of the oppression of Hanukkah does not seem to be as primary as that as Purim. That I think you can't dispute. For the end of the day, even according to the Rambam, there's no formal chiyuv seuda. There's just an Indian to have an excess of achil of ishtia. Have a lot of latkes. You don't have to wash. So the main point can still be the spiritual deliverance. Hope to come back to that before the end of the shiur. Okay. Next point. There's already 3 points. I'd like to get 10 points, and then we'll try to summarize what we have seen. The Rambam writes, "V'gavu b'nei Yisrael b'nei chashmonoi ha-kohanim ha-gdolim v'hargum," right? "V'oshir Yisrael mi-yadam v'emidu melech min ha-kohanim," a king from the Kohanim. This, of course, is the children of Matisyahu. "V'chazru machus l'Yisrael yeso masayim shana ad ha-churban ha-sheni." So in a very famous analysis, so many of the Rav's Talmidim have written this in different venues, the Rav pointed out that the Rambam here is disputing a very famous Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Vayechi attributed the ultimate demise of the entire house of the Chashmonaim to the fact that they violated the command of Yaakov, Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Meaning, in Jewish law, legitimate king of Bnei Yisrael can only come from a descendant of the tribe of Yehuda, such as David HaMelech. Moreover, the Ramban cites a Yerushalmi that adds that there is a special prohibition of appointing a king from the tribe of Levi. So, in other words, it's wrong to have a king from Shevet Yisachar, Shevet Zvulun, but it's really wrong to have a king from Levi. So, Lahavdil, I'm reminded of the conceptual view of the founder of Rhode Island, Roger Williams, because he maintained that the separation of church and state is not due to the interests of the state, but to the religious responsibilities of the members of the church. The din in the church, very lamed shavar. The din in the church, not in the state. The leaders of the church have to be in the garden of sanctity and not sully themselves in the muddy waters and gutters of politics. So I thought, well, that's the Ramban. It's a special isser for Levim Kohanim to be political, right, be Malachim, political leaders. Okay, but at the end of the day, you see from the Rambam that there's no prohibition. At least, he doesn't say that Chashmonaim did anything wrong, on the contrary. So the question is, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokes, what is the point of dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban? So before we get to the Rav, I will tell you, many years ago, I heard a shiur from Rav Gershon Zaks, the Chasak of Rochel, grandson of the Chofetz Chaim. So he said that, you know what, maybe the Rambam disputes the Ramban and interprets that pasuk Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda not as a command but as a nevuah. It's a bracha. There will be kings from Judah. That might be the best. In fact, the Rambam never quotes that pasuk in Mishnah Torah. Maybe that's the answer. So we have a very fundamental machlokes how to read the pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. No, so that's a whole discussion. The Ran discussed that this became actually a whole issue of Jewish-Christian polemics. In other words, when there will be a king, the legitimate king will be from Judah. But there's no formal isser. Okay, so the Ran... there's no avera. No, remember, the Rambam does not look... Nothing. Right. Okay. Right, so that's the old question. Ramban, they all have. Everyone has to deal with how do you deal with Shaul HaMelech? Right, Ramban also says. So he said the time wasn't ripe yet. You know, whatever answer you want to give. Okay, but the Ran has.
It's not an ultimate isser.
Right. The Ran says there's no isser. It's in Nevuah. It's in Drushas Haran. And Rav Gershon Zaks Chon Rocha said maybe that's the answer. The Ran simply follows the Ran. Okay, the Rav didn't want to go that way. So the Rav wanted to say maybe the Rambam agrees with the Ramban, but there's no problem here. Why not? He said there still might be a formal prohibition, but the Chashmonaim did not violate it. Why not? So the Rav just said briefly, the way Rav Shochan quoted, because the duration of the kingdom of Chashmonaim was only temporary. And so in other words, the Isser would be to establish, you know, the dynasty, like the Windsor, whatever it is, you know, forever. So I just want to add something here to Rav Meir Twersky. Shlita added that just to clarify this point, that the Bali Atosus and Maseches Gittin concerning Prisbul, totally different topic, write that Chazal in the beginning of Bayis Sheni knew that the duration of the second base of Mikdash would only be temporary. They didn't think this is going to be the end of history, and there would be a second Churban, and there will be a final and third base of Mikdash. So if you add that, so I think that could help the Rav's point here. According to this, according to the Rambam, the Chashmonaim themselves knew that what they were doing was only a temporary installation, so therefore they allow themselves to temporarily assume the reins of kingship. So therefore, in Achinami, there is a Isser, but the Isser didn't apply because they knew ab initio that it only was going to be temporary. Now, but the question here is as follows. We still have to discuss the second point of the Ramban. It's not just that there was a temporary malchus of a non-Yehuda, it was a temporary malchus of Kohanim. Right. And we saw from the Ramban, right, that I referenced Roger Williams, even worse. So the Rav suggested as follows. Adraba, according to the Rambam, might be a special mila that the malchus was of Kohanim. Why? Because the Syrian Greeks wanted to defile the Beis HaMikdash. And the power of the kingship that was in the hands of the Kohanim ensured Shmiras HaMikdash. Shmiras HaMikdash from external enemies and Shmiras HaMikdash from the internal enemies of the Jewish people. Because we know from Mishnayos, from other sources, that so many of the battles between Chazal and the Tzadukim were about how to have the service in the Beis HaMikdash. The Nisuch HaMayim, the Ksiras HaOmer, for Korban Omer in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ktoros of Yom Kippur. So I've said the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash, to guard the Beis HaMikdash, which we can interpret now, is not just physical Shmira, but maintenance of ideological Shmira is incumbent upon the Kohanim. As the Rambam Hilchos Beis Lechira states. Oh. So in other words, Adarabba, once you say it's okay here to have this temporary kingship of Kohanim, again, whether you want to go like the Rakesh and Zach, Shem the Ran, there's no Isser at all, whether this doesn't apply, there could be a Mila in having a Shel Kohanim. And here, the Rav references grandfather Reb Chaim Brisk, who interpreted interesting verses in the book of Zechariah and Treasar. This is also a famous idea that Rav Shachter has a whole article on this. Kohanim, concerning the Kohen Gadol, Yeshua ben Yehotzadok. So, we know that there are verses in Zechariah concerning the menorah. So that we understand. But the Torah begins earlier that Yeshua ben Yehotzadok had these soiled garments, you have to get rid of the soiled garments, you have to have clean garments. What's that all about? So the Rav said, in the name of his grandfather, Reb Chaim, that this relates to Chanukah as well. The point is a Kohen has to get rid of his soiled garments, but has to protect the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what, and only then would he be fit to wear the tznif. So in other words, there is a special kiyum in having the leaders of Klal Yisrael as Kohanim to safeguard our ideological purity in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's the fourth piece. Let's go to piece number five. The Rambam writes that kingship returned to the Bnei Yisrael for over 200 years. Okay, that might be an exaggeration, but we get the point. For a long time, from the Bnei Chashmonai were in charge. What's the point? Again, the Rav said, again, Rambam is not a history book per se. What is the point in discussing how many years the Chashmonaim reigned as kings? So once again, the Rav drew a contrast between Hanukkah and Purim. We say Hallel on Hanukkah, but of course not on Purim. Why not? Famous Gemara in Megillah, three answers. Answer number one, because the Nes was Chutz La'aretz, the Gemara says, wait a minute, then what happened by Yetzias Mitzrayim? And so they give answers, well, there was no Eretz Yisrael yet. Once there is Eretz Yisrael, you know, then Chutz La'aretz is out. Then there's a second answer. That's the third answer. Hang on. I'll be there in 30 seconds. The second answer...
Akati Adi.
Yeah, that's the one. Good. The second answer is Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan, which Rav says is referring even back to the original time of the Nes. Sometimes Akati means still now, but it's not going to work. It means when the deliverance happened, the Bnei Yisrael were not delivered from Shibun Machlius. They were still under Achashverosh, right? That's the joke. The last part of Gilles Esther says that Achashverosh made a big tax, right? Death and taxes never changes. So that's it. But, now we have a good answer. But according to that answer, on Hanukkah, we were delivered because now we have Jewish kingship. And the third answer, as you mentioned, is Kriyasa Zu Heilula. So let's assume, there might be a problem with it, which we'll get to in a minute, let's assume the Rambam is going with the second answer. So the second answer is, the reason why you don't have Hallel on Purim is because Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. But that's the point of the Rambam saying, hey, we established the kingship, and therefore it is appropriate to say Hallel. And that's the point. The whole point of mentioning that for so many years there was a Jewish king is to justify why we say Hallel. Now we can say we're Avdei Hashem and not Avdei Antiochus. There is one problem with that that Rav Michal Shurkin deals with. If you look later on, Perek Gimel Halacha Vav, Chanukah, the fourth page of the sheets of the Rambam, we're going to have a problem, which hopefully we will be able to solve though. Says Vlo Hallel Shel Chanukah Bilvad Hu Shemidivrei Sofrim Ela Kriyas HaHallel Li'Olam Midivrei Sofrim B'Chol HaYomim Shegomrim Bohem Es HaHallel. Right? Ushmona Asar Yom B'Shona Mitzvah L'Gvor Ben Es HaHallel 18 days Ve'Elohein Shmoni Sameach Chag Sukkot Ve'Shmoni Sameach Chanukah Rishon Shel Pesach Yom Atzeres. Then the famous Rambam Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim Ein Bahem HaHallel Lefi Shein Yemei Tshuva V'Yira, right? We are scared. The jury is out. Are we going to live or not? V'pachad Lo Yemei Simcha Yisera. Now here it is. V'lo Siknu Hallel B'Purim Shekriyas HaMagila Hiya Hallel. So here's the question. The Rambam clearly quotes the third answer. So, why would he need to quote both the third answer and the second answer? Both, in other words, see, if you don't have this pshat, then maybe the Rambam simply only passing. The reason why you don't say Hallel on Purim is because Kriyasa Zu Helila, that the reading of the Megillah itself is Hallel. But according to this whole pshat, the way Rav Shurkin quotes it, the Rambam is really also holding for the second answer. So why does he need to have both answers? So I had something here I thought he could say as follows. Maybe we could illuminate this by contrasting the Rambam with the famous Me'iri Maseches Megillah. The Me'iri Maseches Megillah takes the notion that the reading of the Megillah itself constitutes Hallel quite seriously. So much so that he says, if you do not have a Megillah on Purim, say you're in Nome, Alaska, for Purim, no Megillah, what do? You say Hallel. So Achronim discussed this intriguing Me'iri and some come to the conclusion that he certainly can make a bracha, but in any event, first of all, maybe that's not so clear, that's the discussion, but certainly you would say Hallel. So the question is, does the Rambam agree with this Me'iri or not? So I feel like this. If you assume the Rambam disputes the Me'iri, now it's very good. That's why the Rambam, you need both answers. Because if you only would have had the answer of Kriyasa Zu Helula, so then, in a case on Purim, which you don't have a Megillah, you're in Nome, Alaska, you would have to say Hallel. But since the Rambam also paskins that the reason why you don't have Megillah on Purim is because of Kate Achashverosh Anan, as opposed to Hanukkah, right? So then even if you're Nome, Alaska, doesn't matter, because the original deliverance wasn't that strong in terms of that you would have to say hollow. Yeah.
Where do you find that in the text of the Rambam?
So that's Rav Shurkin quoted B'Shem the Rav when the Rambam says, again, when what is the point of saying the Gavru Bnei Chashmonai Akorna Gdolim V'Horgum Voshio Yisroel Meyodav Amido Melech Mina Kohanim. So again, the whole point here is Rambam's not just being a history book, but everything is a pialocha to explain some type of conceptual point. Okay, that's the fifth piece. Now let's go on to the sixth.
Wait, so why is Rambam have to mention both reasons?
No, so I thought if you say he disputes the Meiri, right, the third reason will not be enough, because on the contrary, if you say the reason why we don't say Hallel on Purim is because Megillas Esther is itself Hallel, that could lead to all these intriguing cases. I had a 10th grade Rebbe, so when someone would not show up to class on Sunday, you'd say, where were you, in Nome, Alaska? So that's stuck in my head as the example of someone who's far away and just can't do anything. So if you're Nome, Alaska, so then, according to Meiri, you should have to say Hallel. But if the reason why you don't say Hallel on Purim is because Akate Avdei Achashverosh Anan, right? So it doesn't really matter where you are. You just won't say Hallel.
But why does the Rambam mention this other reason of Kriyas Zohilu at all?
No. So that is like a conceptual point. That's something in Hilchos Megillah, that since it's a Yemei, you know, we want to have some verbal expression of Hallel V'Hodah. Yeah. Okay, so that's what I thought. Yeah?
It's very interesting that in the Gemara and the Megillah and the Prophets, you don't repeat davening, we're talking about Hallel now. And at the end of the Gemara, we have to daven the Levium and the Ingratitation.
Yeah. Okay.
So my Mashallah is as follows. If a person makes music and is nervous, is under stress to a certain degree, it tightens up.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good point. We'll discuss that after the Shir. Next. The Rambam discusses one lights the candles, laharos lagalos hanes. Again,
in Gimel.
It's Ginuch Chachamim, etc., etc. Laharos lagalos. Again, we're assuming now, that's the point of all of Shurkin's presentation, the Rav. The Rav insists the Rambam's not just a literary work either. You just have synonyms, that's not what's going on here. So what is the point? So what is the point when the Rambam says laharos ulegalos, the two synonyms? So the Rav said as follows. The Rambam says, so he's pointing to a very, very important fact here. The nisim, such as Kriyas Yamsuv, happened publicly in front of an entire nation. But the miracles of Chanukah, that was in the Heichal and the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we have Amunas Chazal that they weren't lying. But we, Davka, have to publicize it. And that also is part of the mitzvah of Pirsume Nisa. That's very interesting. I'll get to that later with the Pri Chodesh, about the whole, Rav Michal Shurkin said that Rav disputed the famous Pri Chodesh about that the first night is for the Mechama. We'll get to that, Mr. Shem. Okay, now the Rav also said that these days are called Chanukah. Uvayamim, it's end of Gimel. Uvayamim Elu Hein Hanikrayim Chanukah. So again, these words can be reflective of the famous Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Chafaf Umabez, My Chanukah, right? So what do you mean, My Chanukah? So Rashi says, with respect to what miracle was the holiday instituted? So maybe the Rambam disputes that. The Rambam is saying simply, what is the meaning of the word Chanukah? So we all know there are two major interpretations. One is Chanu b'chaf hei, that the Jews rested on the 25th, or like Chanukah Samizbeach, they reconsecrated the altar. So Maisa, both meanings find their support in the Braisa concerning Chanukah. So finally, the Rambam is saying, I have told you, I have given you the historical background of the Nes. I have given you the resultant halachic obligation al-Pidin to light candles. So he's saying, I've now answered the question, my Chanukah. What is Chanukah? It's because we were oppressed by the Syrian Greeks and pushed the Yadam the Mamonam Ubenosam, and then we won the war, we established the Melucha, and then we had the Nes Chanukah. That is what Chanukah is. Now, next point. What's the Nusach of the Bracha of She'asa Nisim? So, it's a one-letter difference between what the Rambam has here and in Hilchas Megillah. Let's look at Halacha Dalet. Kol Shechai V'Kriyas Megillah Chai B'Lachas Ner Chanukah V'Madlik Oso B'Layil Harishim V'Ar Sholosh Brachos V'Eluhem Bruchat Hashem L'Kein HaMelech Olam Ashek D'Shem V'Tzvon L'Alik Ner Shal Chanukah Bruchat Hashem L'Kein HaMelech Olam She'asa Nisim L'Avosenim B'Yimim HaHem. Now, Bizman Hazeh. But if you look in Hilchos Megillah, I don't have it here, but it's Ubizman Hazer. So what's going on? So the Rav suggested you have, all right, you look, not now, but you can look at all the Shulchan Aruch Chos in the Frankel edition. But the Rav suggested that the correct text, even vis-a-vis Hanukkah, should be Ubizman Hazer. Moreover, if you look all the way at the end, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. That's the last page of the Mar Makomos. The Rav said this nusach might find support there when you talk about how important Yud Beis. Mitzvah Sner Chanukah Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Maod V'Tzarech Adam Li Zaher Ba. You have to be very diligent about it. They lo dia hanes ulhosi v'shvacha kel v'doya lo al hanisim she'asa lanu. Okay, now here's something interesting. Al hanisim. So again, it's not just what happened then. The Rav said this is a. He explained this according to famous Taz in Hilchos Megillah that says when we thank God for a nes. We say, and you know, by the way, we just don't thank you for this. We thank God for all the nisim you have done for us. So, for example, we have Birkas HaGomel, right? What do we say? Guy comes back from Israel, thank God, there's no problem on the plane. We say, Shegolanu Kol Tov. So, in other words, a Hoda'ah is itself Mechayev, complete Hoda'ahs. When we bench, we thank God not just for food, but for the land of Israel, for Torah, for everything. In some conclusion of the Rav, this is din mi dine hodo. Once we thank God, we realize we have to thank God for everything. And that idea is referenced by the reciting in the Alanisim Bracha, Ubizman Hazer. Okay. Now we come to the very famous Pri Chadash. This is piece number 8. I've done 7 pieces. In Aruch Chaim, Tavresh Ayin, he raised the following question. The Rambam says that the Jews entered the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash on the 25th day of Kislev. Shagavu Yisrael Alo Vein Vodu Machamishah Vesrim Mechodesh Kislev Hoya. Now, by the way, not everyone agrees with that. The Meiri says, and you'll hear it, it makes a lot of sense, they entered on the 24th day. Because they started having the light, the menorah, the following night, which is the night of the 25th. So the Pri Chadash says, wait a minute. We're assuming the Rambam was very precise. So he says that they entered the Heichal, the Beis Mikdash, on the 25th day. So that means, when's the first lighting? The night of the 26th. Maybe if you go like the Meiri, they really entered the day before. Right? So why, Taka, do we start Chanukah on the night of the 25th, according to the Rambam? We should start on the night of the 26th. So the Pri Chadash himself thereby introduces his famous idea that the first night is really the Zecher to the Milchama. Right. But that itself causes its own host of problems, which I don't know if I'll have time to get into, but you should know that famous sheet of the Pri Chadash, that the first night is because of the Milchama, and the other 7 nights. So the Rav said, no. The Rambam was l'shitaso, an extremely complex machlokes in Hilchos tmidim umusafin legabe the mitzvah of hadlokas neros shebabeis hamikdash. The Rambam claims that there is a mitzvah of hadlaka in the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash even by day. Right? Very famous Machlokes, this long, too long Shuvas of Rashba. He attacks the Rambam very strongly on that. The Rambam's view is that the mitzvah of Hatava, right, making a better, literally means cleaning out the wicks, cleaning out the oil, preparing it for subsequent lighting, entails an actual act of lighting as well. So therefore, according to the Rambam, you could say as follows. The Chashmoyim lit immediately when they got in there, on the 25th day, when they entered the Beis HaMikdash. That was on the day the 25th. So, when Chazal instituted the holiday of commemoration, they decided that the holiday should start on the 25th. The only thing is, we'll get to that momentarily, the lighting, however, should take place the night of the 25th. Okay, now, first two more points on this. The Rambam writes the Lashon of Neros HaMa'arocha. If you look at Perek Gimel Halacha Beis, Ukshagavru Yisrael Aloiveim Vabudum Achem Yishav V'shem HaChodesh Kislev Haya. It was the 25th day of Kislev. V'nichnesu Lehechol V'lamatzu Shem Tor V'mikdash Elapach Echad Lohaybol Halacha Yom Echad B'vad V'lukramimenu Neros HaMa'arocha. Okay, so the Rav suggested that the Rambam was deliberately employing the language that he uses elsewhere, Hilchos Tmidim Musafim, that the makar of the mitzvah min haTorah of Hatavas HaNeros is from the biblical word Ya'aroch. Meaning of the word Ya'aroch is that you should clean out the wicks and strain them out. In Parshas Pekudei, the meaning of the biblical phrase Neros HaMarocha means the neros that are continually lit and are never extinguished through constant daily hatava. So in light of the previous idea, you understand why the Rambam uses the lashon Neros HaMarocha. It's to get you thinking about that other Rambam. That the reason why we light on the night of the 5th, it stems from the reason why the Chashmonayim in the first place lit candles on the day of the 25th, which was itself because of the imperative hatava, right, which the Rambam says includes the hadlaka itself. Okay. Now, how much oil was found in the Pach Shemen? So the Shiltos writes that a log was found. So, I have to confess, here I'm not sure where what the Rav ends and Rav Michal Shurkin's his Baron begins, because as far as I know, the Rav was not in the habit of quoting the Shiltos. So, I don't know, but it still fortifies everything the Rav is saying. The Shilto says that a log was found. Wait a second, this is very difficult, because, right, what do we say? We say that there was enough oil in the Pach for one day, and when you light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, you only have half a log of oil. Now, the Rav refused to say, as the Netziv did, that the Lashon of log, implying a full log, was lav dafka. And he certainly refused to give the interpretation you could find in Mirsky's edition, the Shiltos, that log here is just a synonym of pach, and it's not referring at all to the amount of oil in the first place. So in Rav Shurkin's presentation of the Rav's interpretation of the Rambam, the suggestion is made that this Shiltos can fortify the interpretation of the Rambam. Maybe the point is that there was enough oil for two lightings, as per the sheet of the Rambam, a half log by night and a half log by day. But you have to admit that all problems are not solved, because then you still have for the night of the 26th. So that's not going to work 100%. But at least we have a view that supports, in general, the notion that in the Beis HaMikdash there were every single day two lightings, one by day and one by night. But now the Rav asks a very profound question. According to the Rambam, that you have in the Beis HaMikdash a daily lighting at night and a daily lighting by boker, why didn't Chazal institute that on Hanukkah we should light twice? Right? Like Kriya Shema in the morning and night. It's not such a far-fetched idea. Megillah. Right? Okay, by Megillah. Very good. Right? So in other words, if that's the Rambam's din of the Neros and the Beis HaMikdash, why that? That's an amazing question.
Maybe that's why you lighten the shul.
Okay, wait, hang on. Why don't we follow the pattern and light twice? So the Rav here thought, that's how Rav Shurkin presents it, that the mitzvah of Shraga B'tiara Mai Mahani, that says that a candle by day doesn't do anything, it doesn't help anyone, because you have the sun, there's light in any event, that would be enough to dismiss any mitzvah of lighting the menorah by day. Okay, right. Yeah. So indeed, the Magen Avraham writes that one can't make the bracha on the candle until one receives some sort of hana from the light, which would have to be at night. So in other words, put in brisker terms, there's no chalos shame of a candle by day. It's only in the Beis HaMikdash where there's a separate notion of ner tamid. In the Beis HaMikdash, we, according to the Rambam, according to the Beis HaMikdash, we light the candles by day also. Thus, even though Chazal were masakein the lighting of Hanukkah candles, also zecher to the original Hatava, which, as we have said, include lighting, and that's why we have Hanukkah on the 25th day of Kislev, and we don't stop in the night of the 26th, but here, the act of Shraga Batira Mai Mahani acts as a break, like as a halt, so our laws of lighting candle are only panif adlak at night. So Al Pizel, now everything is good. That's why we taka start on the 25th at night, but we don't have a din by day. Okay, I want to maybe I'll take a question afterwards. I just want to finish here. Now the Rav once gave another answer to this question. I don't think this, what I'm about to say, conflicts that, just another perspective. We already mentioned that most Rishonim dispute the Rambam's view that one lights the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash twice daily, once by night and once by day. Right? The Rashba has a very interesting question on the Rambam's view. Well, always talks about your mechanech, the chinuch of the different klei sharis. This is called chinuch of the menorah, when you inaugurate the use of a holy item by a formal use of it for the first time. And the Gemara in Menachos, and the Rambam himself writes, that the chinuch of the menorah, the inauguration of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, can only be done at night, with the seven neros of Ben Harbayim. So why? So Rashi says, according to me, that the Rambam is wrong, you only have hadlaka at night, it's perfect. But according to the Rambam, that one lights all the neros, not just the ner maravi, but all the neros twice daily, and the parameters of the mitzvah are apparently, that's the key word that's going to be rejected, lamaskana, are apparently the same, both by day and by night, so the chinuch should be able to be done by day as well. So the Rav answered by saying no. The conceptual substructure of the hadlaka by day is different than the conceptual substructure of hadlaka by night. Granting that the Rambam holds you have to light the neros and the Beis HaMikdash by night and by day, there's a tremendous difference between the two time periods. The formal Maisa Mitzvah Shel Hadlaka, the formal act of lighting, is only by night. And since at night the B'chayiv is Hadlaka, right, if at night, let's say, according to the Rambam, it's at night, but the day candles are still going on, right? The Gemara says you have Chatzi Log because of the long nights. That implies that by day you're going to have extra. So the Rav said the din would be you have to extinguish them and light them again at night. But on the morning, there's no mitzvah hadlaka per se. Rather, it's part and parcel of the mitzvah hatava of the neros of cleaning and wicks, you know, cleaning the wicks and oils. So we have to ensure that the candles are lit. So if it's in the morning, right, and you find that the candles are still lit, you don't have to extinguish them and relight them. You can leave them as it is. In other words, there's no ma'isa mitzvah hadlaka in the morning. There's only a ma'isa mitzvah of hadlaka at night. So now, parenthetic remark, with this point, Rav Shulchan, I think he's 100% correct here, the Rav is different. He's not going as far as the famous chiddush by his grandfather, Chaim, and his uncle, Revelvel, the Priskarov, is called Racha. They went even further. They said that according to the Rambam, there's never a Maisa Mitzvah of Hadlaka at all. It's only Sheyiyu Haneros Dlukim. And that's how they explain that astonishing Rambam, that he could have a Tzar outside the Beis HaMikdash and just bring the candles in. So they held that both by day and even by night, there's no Chiv Hadlaka at all. All that there ever is an obligation to see that the candles are lit. Right? And that's, again, with that premise, they explain the Shita HaRambam that a non-Kohen can l'chatchil light the menorah outside the Heichal and bring them in. Okay, the Rav didn't go that far. The Rav says he agrees that by morning there's no Maisa Hadlaka. All that there is Sheyu Haneros Dlukim. But by night, he is. Now, according to this, by the way, we understand something amazing. We never find that Chazal lit, by the Chashmonoyim, they didn't extinguish the candles. Right? So in some circles, that's brought as a whole raya to Reb Chaim Revelvel. In Achinami, there is no din in the Beis HaMikdash to relight. So they just saw as it was for 8 days. In the circle of Biskish line, they call that Revelvel brought this point from the Nes of Chanukah as a proof to his father's Yisrael, what Reb Chaim said about the Nero. So Rav didn't go that far here. He said, no, there is a Chi of Maisa Adlaka Kwa Adlaka, but only by night. In the morning, it's a Chi of Adlaka Kwa Hatava. But, getting back to the question of the Rashba, this point explains why even according to the Rambam, the inauguration of the menorah can only be a night. Remember, what was the
question of Maisa Adlaka?
Right, because what was the original question of the Rashba? Rashba says, how can the Rambam say it's a mitzvah in the morning? You see that chinuch can only be done at night. So according to me, it's only done nightly. That's great. According to you, it doesn't work out. Rav says it does work according to the Rambam, because even according to the Rambam, the chiyuv hadlaka qua hadlaka is only at night, and therefore the chinuch has to be patterned after that. Then the Rav said, "Can even go further." The Torah says Yaroch, and we learn like that the Neris must be lit continually, right? The din is a kiyum and the chetza shel menorah. Analogy is to lechem aponim. Lechem aponim has to be on the shulchan. It's a din in the shulchan. Okay, the shulchan has to be equipped with bread. The menorah has to be equipped with light. So that's why in the morning, if the menorah is still lit, you don't have to extinguish them and relight them. But at night, it's dafka maisa hadlaka, and therefore it would come out that you would have to extinguish them and light them. And again, that's the difference between the Rav's interpretation and the Reb Chaim Revelvel. But now, in conclusion, we now see with greater behiros, with greater clarity, in terms of light, it's a good metaphor here, we understand why Chazal were masake in the mitzvah of Hadlakas near Chanukah to be patterned after the Hadlaka in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Rav holds at night there is a Maisa Hadlaka. So our mitzvah of near Chanukah is to mimic what happened in the Beis HaMikdash at night. Right? So because only then in the Beis HaMikdash is there a Chiyuv Hadlaka Kwa Hadlaka. In the morning, there's no Chiyuv Hadlaka in the Beis HaMikdash Kwa Hadlaka at all. So there's no Chiyuv Hadlaka for Chanukah either. So I would just add, according to this, you don't even need anymore the Shraka Batira Maimahani. Right, so that's what I'm pointing out. According to this, we understand why there's only a mitzvah of Hadlaka at night. Okay, that was a long piece. Let's do two more. The Rambam says like this. Perik Dal Lacha Yud Beis, you have to literally sell your shirt to get oil and Eres for Chanukah. Let's look at that. That's at the last sheet of the Mar Mekomos. Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah. Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. V'tzarech Odin Lozbok De'oldiya Hanez V'hosu V'shvach HaKel V'doyelo Al Anisim Shasolonu Afilu Ein Lo Mayochal El Min Atztaka Shoel u'mocher k'suso l'kech shemen v'neros u'madlik. Yeah. So the question here is as follows. We know by all other mitzvahs, look in Orach Chaim, Siman Tav Resh Nun Vav, you only have to spend up to a fifth. So the Ram seems to imply it doesn't apply here. Why not? So, okay, let's even grant that because of Pirsumei Nisa, the rules are different. But why by Pirsumei Nisa should it make it different? And by the way, the Rav said that this is by Dalet Kosos as well. The famous Mishnah Avei Pesachim, we have the communal funds. We not tamchli get the Dalet Kosos, but theoretically, if you're in Nome, Alaska, and there's no tamchli, you'd have to do all you can to get the Dalet Kosos. So the Rav said that the point might be as follows, and this is a very beautiful idea. Pirsumei Nisa is an aspect of Kiddush Hashem. When one publicizes the miracles that God performs for Bnei Yisrael, one is sanctifying God. Rav Yerucham Fushel Perlo, in his Beer to the Seven Mitzvahs of Rav Sadigon, quotes the name of Rav Daniel Hababli, that the biblical source of Pirsumei Nisa and Hallel is the pasuk of Kiddush Hashem. So, now it's very easy. For Kiddush Hashem, if you need be, you have to give up your life. So just as you're mechuyav to even give up your life as need be, certainly you have to spend everything to ensure the mitzvahs asay of Pirsumei Nisa, which is subsumed under the rubric of Kiddush Hashem. Now, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos says that the time for lighting Chanukah candles till people leave the marketplace. So the shir mentioned is Ragla de Tarmodoi, strange phrase. So Rashi says this refers to non-Jewish nations, some identified with Palmyra, that people would gather and stay late in the marketplace. So one sees from Rashi's view that Pirsumei Nisa applies to non-Jewish people as well. Indeed, we see this from Yalan Nisim prayer as well. Right? There are two clauses. We say that Hashem, Chasid Hashem, Gokdosh Balamecha, Ula Amcha Yisrael, Asisa Chugdala, Rapukha Kayom Hazeh. So in other words, there was Pirsumei Nisa klapi the non-Jewish world, and Pirsumei Nisa for the Jews itself. But now the Rav asks a very innocent question. Megillah is only read in front of Jews. So what's the difference between Chanukah and Purim? By Chanukah, we emphasize the Pirsumei Nisa even in front of non-Jews. Ragla de Tarmudai. But on Purim, we don't. So an easy answer, you could say, well, since by Purim, you're expressing it through Kriyas HaMegillah, and formally, the Kriyas HaMegillah has to be with, Jews. Right? Only Jews count for a minyan. Goyim don't count. So there's no Hechitimsa. There's no possibility for Pirsumei Nisa in front of non-Jews. Rav says, but we have to go further. We should probe it and ask, but why ab initio was the Takana Pirsumei Nisa of Purim through the Megillah only formulated in front of Jews? Why couldn't we thought of something to do in front of non-Jews? So the Rav here remarkably, the Rav Shulchan quotes it, turns to a Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. Gabe, a person who worships Avodah Zarah, not out of conviction, either Ava or Yira, he's simply scared. He's scared he's going to get killed or Ava, whatever reason. So Rava says that somebody who does an act of Avodah Zarah in these cases is not Chayv Misa. There's no intentionality, right? For the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah, this is the very thing Tosfos read. Avodah Zarah, the whole Isser is the intentionality. The Misa is an expression of that. So if no intentionality, you're not Chayv Misa's putter. But wait a minute. Rishonim said, there certainly is still a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. You have to give up your life. So if there's no Chiyuv Misa, if you do it, why should there be a mitzvah of your Harg Al Yavar in the first place? Every case, your Ipso should be of Mira. So the Rav said the answer to this might be found in the Rambam's formulation of Kiddush Hashem and Sefer Mitzvot, Mitzvah Asay number 9. He writes there, and we have to, as a Jew, if we need be, to Shema Yisrael, Shem Kenu, Shem Echad, give up our lives. And we must not let the non-Jewish idolater who is attempting to coerce us into a worshiping idol even think that we are, God forbid, denying the one true God. In other words, that's the point. Kiddush Hashem is, even in a scenario where there's no formal mice of Avodah Zarah, we can't make anything to let the non-Jew think that we are doing that. Okay, that's step one. Step two, now the Rav said, we can understand the chilek between Chanukah and Purim. What's the point of Chanukah? Our defiance of Antiochus. We all know the story of Hannah and the seven children. Our defiance of the men who wanted to make us reject Judaism. So, Pirsume Nisa, which is the remembrance of that fact, is, as Rav Daniel Abavli stated, an act of Kiddush Hashem. So even today, we dafka show the non-Jews of our commitment to Judaism and its ideals at all costs. But the Pirsume Nisa of Purim was different. There was simply the sheer act of our physical deliverance. There, the idea was simply our bitachon, that God was going, you know, Rebach Vatzala, God was going to deliver us, and indeed, He did. He delivered us from Haman HaRasha. But this is relevant dafka to Jews. It's our bitachon. So therefore, our Pirsume Nisa's focused dafka on the Jews and Shuls, we read the Megillah. So I just want to add something here. So what emerges here from this point is something similar, not the same, but similar to the point of the Levush we started with, the distinction between Chanukah and Purim. That's why I said, even though the Rav says there's a physical aspect to persecution of Chanukah also, he didn't reject the Levush entirely. Because once again, you see here the deliverance of Chanukah, right, remember Levush said was spiritual, the deliverance of Purim is physical. But we pointed out that even according to the Rav, there's a physical dimension of Chanukah as well, but the main point is still the spiritual battle with Hellenism. The spiritual battle with Antiochus, and after all, there's no formal Chi of Suda, just an excess of Achil of Shtiyah. So I think this fits very nicely here. And Chanukah, the Kiddush Hashem as of Pirsume Nisa is also expressed, and that's in front of non-Jews also. On Purim, on the other hand, the sheer fact of physical deliverance, God saved us from Haman HaRasha, creates a Chi of Pirsume Nisa that is inner-directed towards our fellow Jews. Okay, that was not fair.